Morning. Today's daf in tomorrow's daf Lamed Beis. Okay. We're behind. It seems like the position I'm most comfortable with. We're back on Lamed Amud Beis. We got through most of Lamed Amud Beis. We still have more to cover, and we'll finish it up. God willing, today we'll finish the parak, the sixth parak of tomorrow. We'll start the seventh parak of tomorrow. And I'd like to get to daf Lamed Beis, which is today's daf. Okay? And then we'll take it from there. You don't hear a lot of concern in my voice, A, because never really worry that much, and I'm built that way, and B, because we're going to be finishing the Masechta on Tuesday. Yeah, we're finishing the Masechta on Tuesday, one way or another. Okay, with or without us, we're going to finish Masechta, and then Wednesday we begin Krisus. Okay, we have the seventh Perek, and that's it. Okay. Without further ado, on the backside of Lamed Amud Beis, we're finishing up our discussion about money towards the zona. So you go to a zona, you pay her money, and now she uses that money for karbanos. So what's the story with that money? Well, first of all, what's the story with the zona? What are you doing going to a zona? All right, so we've already spent about 3 days discussing this. The Torah in no way is condoning, endorsing, going to a zona. The Torah, in fact, says that a kohen is not allowed to marry a zona and be with a zona. And certainly for the rest of Klal Yisrael, it is, to say the least, the Rambam describes it in very, very strong terms, in terms of not engaging in such activity, but... The Torah says that if a zona gets money as compensation for her services, so the animal that she receives as compensation cannot be brought as a karban. That's like a baal mum. We talked about this already at length. What about the money she receives? So that's the mishnah that we learned together on yesterday's daf, or what we learned yesterday on daf lamed amud beis. And the mishnah says that the money is fine. The money can be used towards whatever karban she wants to buy. However, says the Mishnah, if instead of money she got wine or oil or ground up flour as compensation for her services, which is fit for the Mizbeach, that's going to be disqualified for the Mizbeach. If, however, the Mishnah says she got grapes and she then made it into wine, or she had olives and she then made it into oil, so that's the right, or wheat, and she made it into flour, that's a shinui, and that would be fine, that would be absolutely fine for the Mizbech, and it would seem to be that this fits into the regular halachas of shinui. That shinui creates a new entity whatsoever, it's panim chadashos, ba'olakan, and that's what we got up to yesterday. Beis Shammai disagrees with this point, but obviously we're gonna go with Beis Hillel. And the last point that we covered yesterday is that what if she got gold as compensation, meaning actual gold, right? Pieces of gold. She can't give that to the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Because that's going to be used for the plating of the Beis HaMikdash. The plating of the Beis HaMikdash cannot be made with the gold that was given to her. That also will have the same blemish to it as well. Nasalam Mukdashim, we're continuing in the Gemara. We're right where we left off yesterday. It's about 20 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the second line before the lines become extraordinarily wide. And the Mishnah gave the following scenario. What if you give her hektish? Right. What is that? You give her hektish. So the Gemara is going to ask some basic questions, which we pointed out yesterday. Yeah. So the Gemara starts off first by arguing, well, it should be an Esnan. Sure. It should get the status of an Esnan. And we could derive it through a Kavachomer. And watch. Because we start with birds. Birds, as we pointed out, are impervious to blemishes. Birds are not affected by blemishes. You can offer a blemished bird on the Mizbeach. And do birds have the status of Esnan? You bet they do. We learned in yesterday's daf that birds are subject to Esnan. If you hand the zona a bird as payment for her services, so that bird is going to have the status of Esnan. And so birds which are not mum susceptible, and meanwhile, they're going to get status of Esnan. Mukdashim shamun posa behemeinu din she'esnan mechir chaleihem. Well, so now I take an animal which is a karban, which are absolutely mum susceptible, right? A mum will disqualify a karban. So if they're mum susceptible, you don't think they're Esnan susceptible? Good. That's a kal v'chomer. It's a nice one. Tamalama lechol neder lahutzias anador. So the Gemara says, so we're going to darshan, because the Kavachomer sounds very nice. So we're going to have the drasha that counteracts the Kavachomer. And the drasha says, chol neder. Neder means something that I create as a neder. If it's already been created as a neder, so that's no good. That's kfar nadur. Sorry, not that it's no good, it's excluded from the pasuk, which means now that if she receives a carbon as payment for services rendered, so that carbon could still be offered. Okay, but good. Now that took us through the easy part of the discussion. Now the Gemara says, can we touch on a more fundamental issue, which is time de meyatin ekra halon meyatin ekra havamine ki yahiv la mukdashin chalei mesnan mechir. Did you hear the havamina? Meaning, where did we go with that kavachomer? We were about to say, through the kavachomer, that there's going to be a status of esnan on a carbon that was given to the zona. It's not hers. More fundamentally, it's not his. Meaning, once it's a carbon, that's it. He's a trustee of the item. He has to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And yeah, there may be a liability depending on whether it's a ned or a nedava, but it's not his. And he certainly can't give it to her as payment for his nose.
Moil with it.
Huh?
It would be moil with it. Because he's using it.
Right. I guess. Meaning, basically, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm ready to label Meila, but it's correct. The basic point is it's not his. Bahalav Mamonahu, the Gemara says. It's not his. Amar Rav Hoshea ben Matmana. So the Gemara says, Maman al Pischa. Oh, so no, there is a scenario where I can have a carbon and I can still retain ownership of the carbon. So the Gemara illustrates it through the following scenario. Watch. I know it's unbelievable, but we are less than 4 weeks away from, no. Yeah, less than 3 weeks, sorry. Right, Shabbos is Rosh Shabbos, coming up is Rosh Chodesh. 2 weeks later after that is Pesach. We're under three weeks away from Pesach. Okay, so now, we don't have a base of mikdash, but if I set aside a carbon for myself, for carbon Pesach, and now, I come to the daf this morning, and I say, look, I already have an animal for carbon Pesach. Okay, who would like to join me? Now, right, I love everyone here in this room, but I'm going to charge a nominal fee. Can I do that? And the answer is, well, under certain circumstances, yeah, I could do that. Meaning, even though it's a carbon Pesach, so it's already mukdash, which means I'm not the owner of it. Nevertheless, I can charge a fee for entrance. You want to be nisnamna, you want to join me, you want to be, I was going to say invited, registered. You want to be registered together with me over my carbon Pesach? I have the right to charge. Now, exactly how much I could charge, that's subject to a debate. Titanya, vim yimata bait mi yos mi ser. The pasuk says in Parshas Bo that if there's not enough people, miot misen, the Gemara now darshins, hecheyehu misen, meaning you can get chiyus, you can get a livelihood from the sheep. Now, according to the Tanakhama, that's only if I'm really poor and I mamish have nothing to eat, and so therefore what I could do is I could charge up to where now I can eat. In other words, so I can make enough money in order to eat. Rebbe goes even one step further. Rebbe Omer Af Mechde Mekach. Rebbe says, whatever you want to charge, meaning even if you want to make a business out of it, even if you want to make a profit, you don't have to be a non-profit, you can even be a for-profit, and you can even charge enough money so that you'll walk away with a little bit of pocket change. On account of this, meaning, this is the conditions in which the Jewish people are makdish their carbon Pesach. Now, the truth of the matter is that this might not be limited to carbon Pesach. This might be true by all kachim kalim, and Pesach is just used by illustration, by example. Okay, because everyone's got to eat carbon Pesach. Okay, and therefore there's going to be a market for, you know, would you like to register with me? And, you know, I don't charge a whole lot. Okay, whatever the case is. The point is that you see that you have a carbon where you could still retain ownership over the carbon, and you could charge money over the carbon. And now, perfect, now you understand. Meaning, what are you offering to the zona? So, and I know this is going to be a little bit strange, but you're offering to the zona, all right, through with your services rendered, I'll let you be Nisnamna, I'll have you register my Karban Pesach, so you can join me and my family tea together with the Karban Pesach. To that now we can add a fifth kasha to the four questions, meaning the four questions are asked, and then the fifth kasha, which is who is she? And okay. Sorry. Okay, we move on. Kol ha'asurim legabe mizbeach. Amar Rav, kol ha'asurim legabe mizbeach. V'lad dosei mutarim. All right. We have a general rule in our Mishnah, and now the Gemara is going to express it more clearly and bring down a machlokas about this as well, which is that anything which is asur legabe mizbeach, so the vlad, its offspring is going to be mutar. V'tniela Rebbe Lazar Oseh. Now we have a conflicting position, a disputing position. Rebbe Eliezer, he says, nope, even its result is going to be Aser. Now the Gemara would like a little more clarity on this machlokas. Amar, Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Amar Rav Nachman, machlokas she'ivru levesof nirvaum. Okay, so let's suggest like this. The whole debate is where it was pregnant, it was me'ubar, and then afterwards it was involved in an act of bestiality while the animal was pregnant. Rabbi Elazar Savar Uba Yerachimo. So now we'll lay out the machlokas like this. The oldie but goodie, the classic machlokas of whether or not a fetus is considered part and parcel of the mother. Rabbi Elazar says it is. Rabbanan Savar Lav Yerachimo and Rabbanan the Chachamim say it's not. And now that we set up the machlokas like this, perfect. So now we have a very clear understanding of what's going on over here. If you hold that the Uber is Yerachimo like Rabbi Eliezer, so then you understand. So that when he's Roveya, the animal, so the fetus is just simply a limb of the mother. So every part of the animal, including its limb, is going to be prohibited for the Mizbeach. So when the offspring comes out, the offspring is going to be born as a blemished animal, as a nirva. Whereas opposed to the Chachamim say no, because Ubar Yat Lav Yerachimo, meaning you sodomized the mother's going to be prohibited, but the fetus is an independent entity. Aval Nirva Losof Yivru Divra Kol Mutarn. But if first the animal was nirva, and then the animal became pregnant and conceived, according to everybody, would be mutar. Okay, that is one way of understanding this machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Number two, Rava Amar Machlokas Kishinir V'lo Sof Ibru. Rava says, no, we'll go the other way, where the Machlokas is, you reveal the animal, and then it becomes pregnant. Now, what's at issue over here? Rabbi Lazar Savers, if it's a Garim, Aser. Go back to a classic debate, meaning mom is Aser, because she was Nirva. Dad is fine. So now they produce an offspring together. This is what's called Zev Zegorim. Now to create this child, I have two causative actions. Mom and dad. Mom is Aser, dad is Mutter. So this is Zev Zegorim. What is the result of Zev Zegorim when one Zeh is Aser and the other Zeh is Mutter? Subject to a machlokas. So the Gemara says that's exactly the machlokas over here between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Lazar holds Zev Zegorim is Aser, Rabbi Anasar holds Zev Zegorim is Mutter, Aval Ibra Lesof Nirva, Divra Kol Aserim. But if the animal was pregnant, and then the animal was Nirva as a pregnant animal, everyone, Divra Halka would be that both mother and daughter are going to be Aser, Virava Latame Da Amar, and now, Rava, who says that when the animal is pregnant and sodomized as a pregnant animal, Lekule Am, according to everyone, it's going to be Aser, that's Rava being consistent. The Amar Rava Vlad Nirva Sasuru Hiu Vlad Nirvu Nirvu Vlad Nugacha Sasuru Hiu Vlad Nikhu. Perfect. Because what do we see on the top of this Amud? We went over this yesterday. Is that according to Rava, when an animal is sodomized, you say that the animal and the fetus are both being sodomized, right? Concurrently at the same time. Not because biologically the fetus inside is being sodomized also. The Gemara understands better. It just happens to be that the fetus is considered part and parcel of the mother. Lishna Achrina, now we're going to do this again, slightly different format, but another version of this discussion. Amri Lamer, Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Rav Nachman, Machlokas Shenirvu K'shem Mukdashin. The Machlokas is when the animal was sodomized as already a carbon. The Rabbi Lazar Savar Bizui Milsa, Rabbi Lazar says it's just degrading. Meaning the animal over here is already a carbon, sodomized as a carbon, bizui milsa. And so therefore, not only is it going to be forbidden to the Mizbeach, but its offspring as well. Rabban Shavre Lo, and the Chachamim hold, no, we're not going to say bizui milsa over here. Meaning certainly the animal itself can't be offered as a carbon, But the offspring, however, is going to be fine. But if it was sodomized before it was a karban, and now afterwards it becomes a karban, so you're matish it, so the animal itself is nirva. You can't offer the animal, but the offspring, that would be fine. It went through shinui, it went through change. And Rava Amar Rav Nachman Machlokas Kishner Vukshein Chulin. Or if you want, you could say that the whole Machlokas is before the animal was hektish while it was Chulin. Where the Chachamim subscribed to this idea of Hov Nishtan Nishtanu, went through a change. And Rav Elazar says, no, I don't care. Meaning the animal itself is Nisbazes, so is the offspring. Aval Nirvok Shem Ukdashin Divra Kol Asurin. But if it was sodomized after it becomes a carbon, according to everybody, it and its offspring are going to be Asur. Okay, so that's just simply another way to present the Machlokas. Okay, Vlad Trefa. Now, the offspring of a trefa. Okay, remember the Mishnah? The Mishnah brought down a machlokas about the offspring of a trefa. If you look back on the previous summit, and I'm just going to quickly review, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Vla trefa, lo yikra v'gabe mizbeach. The offspring of a trefa cannot be offered on the mizbeach, and Rabbi Chanim et Tignas Omer k'shera. Okay, and the Gemara presents a conflicting viewpoint. And says that you can bring a trefa, the Vla, the offspring of a trefa on the mizbeach. Okay, first and foremost, can a trefa conceive? Okay, I know the next words are going to come out of my mouth are going to sound funny, but machlokas. It is a debate whether or not a trefa can or cannot conceive. We remember back in Chul.
We're
talking about conception, right? Can a trefa, meaning a trefa is a frail animal, it's a sick animal, the animal is going to die. Okay, is it going to die within 12 months? That's another machlokas, but, and it could be that these two machlokasim correlate. Okay, but in other words, there certainly is a frailty to a trefa. Can it conceive? So that is subject to a debate. So there is one opinion that says the trefa yoledes, and there's another position which is trefa eina yoledes. Now, maybe we'll do Tosfos, because the position, the adopted position that we take is trefa eino yoledes. That's the halachically accepted position. Okay, which will create some problems in our Gemara. Maybe I'll touch on it. I don't think so. I'd like to cover more ground than do in depth. Okay. So what the Gemara now has to basically diagnose is our Mishnah is holding what? Trefa Yoledes or Trefa Eino Yoledes? So interestingly enough, we could take our Mishnah in both directions. We could learn the Mishnah either way. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to do. Lamanda amar trefa yalda yoledes. So according to the one who says the trefa yoledes, so mishkachala. So then, how are you understanding our Mishnah? How can our Mishnah be having a debate about the offspring of a trefa if a trefa can't give birth? So the Gemara says that's very simple. Mishkachala kigon shenitra falu sof ivra. So, sorry, I jumped ahead one position in the Gemara. If you hold trefa yoledes. Okay, I'm sorry. I was reading the parentheses in my mind. I'm sorry. Ignore it. Ignore the parentheses, right? Trefa yoledes. If you hold that a trefa is yoledes, so then that's fine. Mishkach lekigon shenitra falusof ibra. Then our mishnah is fine because the animal becomes a trefa, however which way it becomes a trefa, and it can give birth. So v'haplegid the rabbi lazar sarv zev zegarim masav rabbanan sarv zev zegarim mutar. And now, what's the issue regarding the offspring? Same issue that we just mentioned 5 minutes ago, where according to Rabbi Elazar, zev zegarim is aser, which means mom's a trefa, mom can't be offered as a karbon. That's fine. You put the two together, you now produce an offspring. This is a classic scenario, zev zegarim. Rabbi Eliezer holds zev zegarim is aser. The Chachamim hold, or in our case of our Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas holds zev zegarim is mutter. Okay, perfect. Laman damer trefa eina yoledes. Now, if you work with the position of trefa being an eino yoledes, meaning it physically cannot conceive, so what's our mission talking about? Mishkachala kigon shebalasof nitrafa. So, but that's fine also, because we'll say that it already conceived, it's already pregnant, and it becomes a trefa after it's now, after conception, meaning during pregnancy it becomes a trefa. Uva hapligi, the Rabbi Elazar Savar. Ubar Yerechimahu. Now, according to Rabbi Lazar Ubar Yerechimo, that the fetus is an extension of the mother. Once the mother is now a trefa, so is the fetus, because the fetus is just simply a limb. It's a digit of the mother. And the Chachamim hold that Ubar is Lav Yerech Imahu. Okay? And that is now the machlokus in our Mishnah. Just quickly to point out what Tosus's issue is, if you're following now, we follow the position that we follow the position that Trefas Eino Yoledes, meaning this version that we just went through in the Gemara. So according to this version of the Gemara now, the whole machlokus in our Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Chanin ben Antignus is predicated on a trefa is not yoledet. It cannot be yoledet. So what's the case of our Mishnah? The case of our Mishnah is where first she was pregnant and then she becomes a trefa. If that's true, how does it now set up? It sets up now that according to the Chachamim, the position of the Chacham that we just went over, Ubar is Lav Yerech Imo. How does that fit in with the bottom of the previous summer that we just learned, where according to Rava, if you're rovei an animal, you're being rovei both the animal and the fetus inside. Why? Because Ubar Yerech Imo. So the Gemara now is sending to us mixed messages, whether Ubar Yerech Imo or Ubar Lav Yerech Imo. And if you take a look at the top Tosus over here, which we're not going to go through right now, so he tries to figure that out. Which side of the Ubar Yerech Imo coin are we sitting on? Am Rav Huna. We're now back to the Gemara. Mordim Chacham L'Rav Elazar Befroch Beitz Estrefa Sha'aser. Okay. We have a machlokus in our Mishnah regarding the offspring of a trefa, vis-a-vis an animal. How about this? How about if we're talking about birds? Now, what's the difference between birds versus animals? So the difference is that a bird has a child, but through an egg. An animal delivers its children live. Okay, a little bit of biology for today. That's it. We're finished with our biology lesson. So the... it's important though. In other words, it's extraordinarily important to understand that what the Gemara now is suggesting is that there's going to be a fundamental difference between a live birth of an animal versus an egg birth of a bird. And when it comes to the egg birth, so Rav Huna would like to argue that there is total agreement that the child is going to be usher. In other words, if mom bird is a trefa, its young that it gives birth to is going to be usher to the Mizbeach, according to everybody. Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim. My time ad kan lo pligala de Rabbi Lazar ala bavla behema de me'avir karabia. Because look, in the case of an animal, when the fetus develops inside, it's avira karabia, it develops in its own airspace. Okay? I'll read the Gemara first, and then we'll try to explain the Gemara. However, when it comes to an egg is considered more part and parcel of the mother. I feel a rabbanan moda, so therefore the chachamim would be moda that if mom's a treif in the world of birds, you bet the egg and its resulting chick is going to be usher as well. What exactly does it mean when the Gemara says that when it comes to an animal, it's me avira karabia? It's its own airspace. So Rashi offers two explanations. We'll quickly go through Rashi's two explanations. Rashi, explanation number one, we're right alongside where we're in the Gemara, a couple lines above in Rashi. Vlad be mei behema eno aduk begufa elatalu ba'avir umeatmo hi notzer vigadal vaholech. Comes to an animal, or any mammal for that matter, that's developed inside, it basically develops independent of the mother, right? It has its own sac, right? It has an amniotic sac, and so therefore it develops more independently of its mother, more than a chicken and its egg. Ava beitza kozman sheinu nigmara duka be'eshkol v'igidla v'nigmara migufatana galas. But when it comes to a developing egg, so there's a cluster inside of the chicken. The egg is attached to the cluster. It's only when the egg is laid that there's a detachment between the egg and its cluster inside. What Rashi describes as the eshkol, right? Going back to my biology days, right, when we dissected the chicken. So that's No, but even back in college we did it. So when we dissected the chicken, so you saw it, it looked like a cluster of grapes. So, but the egg is still connected to its mother. So it's more connected and more dependent on the mother. So if the mother's a trefa, the egg also is going to get status of trefa. That's explanation number one of Rashi. Lishna Achrina, Rashi says, or we'll do it another way. Look, when it comes to an animal, a mammal, in this case a cow or a goat or a sheep, so it does a lot of its growing, in fact, most of its growing outside of the mother. So you see that the mother was important in terms of its initial development, but because it grows so much after it comes out of the mother, you see that mom isn't, it's obviously important, but not as important for its developmental growth. As opposed to when it comes to an egg inside of a chicken, so according to the second Pshat Rashi, after the egg comes out of the chicken, is there any more growth in the egg? Obviously the chick itself is going to grow more. But is the egg itself going to grow any more? And the answer is no. So you see that the egg experienced all of its growth inside the mother. So it's considered more part and parcel and attachment of the mother, evidenced by the fact that it doesn't grow anymore after it exits the mother. Okay. Two ways that Rashi would say it. Anyway, but the basic point of Rav Huna is that an egg is considered more connected to the mother. So if mom's a trefa, in the case of a bird, the egg is going to be trefa, and that's not even a debate. That's going to everyone. Amalei Rav la Rav Huna, back to the Gemara. Tanya de Messiah Lach, I'll find you a brisa that supports you. And the brisa goes like this. Now, I said brisa. I think it's a Mishnah. Okay. Malo tarvad ri mahaba me adam chai. Okay. This is as disgusting as you can possibly imagine. Okay. You have decaying flesh of a human being, and the decaying flesh, it's decaying because it's infested with rima, maggots. Okay. Okay, sorry for just the how grotesque this is, but in other words, and it's malo tarvad. You have a spoonful of these maggots, which were at one point in time the flesh of a human being. Okay, and it comes off the person live. So Rabbi Elazar metamei v'chachamim metarim, and there's a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim whether or not the spoonful of maggots actually is tamei, meaning human remains, or tahor. And ad kan la pliga rabban ala berima de pirsha ba'amahu. Ava beitza de migufa tatanagolu afila rabban amoda. Now, the whole debate over here is regarding rima. It's only regarding maggots. Because it's pirsha ba'amah, because there the chacham will argue, well, that's not really decomposed flesh. It's pirsha ba'amah. Waste matter. But when it comes to beitza de migufa tatanagolu afila rabban amoda. But an egg, according to everybody, the egg is part and parcel of the mother, meaning, so it seems like when it comes, the egg vis-a-vis its mother, according to everybody, is its mother. So Amalei Abaye Adrabich Ibcha Mistabra, he says, really, that Mishanolos? If you want to analyze that Mishanolos, you can really go the other way. Ad kan lo palag Rebbe Elazar alai Rabban Ela Brima Dikre Adam Mechayim Mechayim Rima. What are you talking about? Maggots? We're maggots. Meaning a human being could be expressed in terms of maggots. And it's not homiletics. It's the Gemara quotes the Pasuk Dechziv, V'tikvas enosh rima. What do we have to look forward to in life? That we're going to turn into maggots. Okay, I understand that's not the most heartwarming message that you want to hear early Sunday morning. But that's it. That's what we have to look forward to. Tikvas enosh rima. Uvena dam tolea. Right. Well, we're basically going to turn into worms. Okay. Beautiful. Heartwarming. But in other words, but halachically speaking, we are rima. We're maggots. But regarding the egg, you could say that no. What are you talking about? Is the egg really is what the chick will be? No. In fact, when the chick is hatched, the egg breaks and decomposes, and you can make the argument that the egg is really not part and parcel of the mother. I feel a Rebbe Lazar Moder. And we can go the other way And we could say that when it got regarding the egg and its mother, the egg is really a distinct entity from its mother. Okay, va'od. And furthermore, I'll punctuate the whole discussion with a brisa, Tanya, behejya moder of lazal chacham and beforach beitzah strefa shemoter. Really, it's a discussion ender. The brisa says that when it comes to the egg of a bird, where the bird was a trefa, the egg is fine. The egg is, meaning the developing chick inside the egg will be fine, according to everybody, even Rabbi Eliezer. I'm like, Itanya Tanya. Wow, does that end the conversation real quickly? Itanya Tanya, if you have a brisa, what could I tell you? We could throw around svaras all day. But if you have a brisa, I yield to your brisa. Rabbi Chanim and Tignas Amar Kshira, V'chulei Maitaima. Now, you go on in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, what if you have an animal that's yonek min a trefa? It nurses from a trefa. Meaning the animal itself is fine. It just happens to be that the mother that it's nursing from is currently a trefa. So what did the Mishnah say? Psula me'al gabei ha-mizbeach. You can't use it from the mizbeach. The Gemara says, what? Just because it's nursing from a mother who's a trefa, that doesn't seem to make sense. My time. Ilema de mefatma mina. So elamiata echila kashina avodazara chana midasire. Who cares what the animal's diet is? Right? We saw in yesterday's daf that if you have an animal eating kashini avodazara, eating the animal food, and the animal food is avodazara, it was used for avodazara, it was worshipped, whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. The diet won't make the animal. Okay? I'm not saying that from a health standpoint. I'm saying it from a halachic standpoint. Right? Who cares what the animal's eating? And here, okay, so it's nursing from a mother as a trefa. Who cares? That doesn't make, it doesn't give the animal status. So Elatini Rabbi Chinina Tirta Kamed Rav Yochanan Kagon Sheinika Chel Vrosech Mishachris Vshachris Hovi Cholamor Allah Meifay. So the Gemara says, well, maybe our case is a very specific case. Specifically, we're talking about where it nurses every day from a trefa, and really, its entire chiyus, its life really is based on the nursing that it does. Meaning, this was a contributor to the diet of the animal. This was the diet of the animal. This is what the animal ate, and the animal needed this milk in order to live. Okay, so it more reflected what the animal is, and therefore, since it nursed from a trefa, and its entire chiyus comes from a trefa, so therefore this animal is not fit for the mizbech. Meaning to say, if you think this through, we're not really saying that just because this animal nurses from a trefa, the animal becomes a trefa. Can't be. Meaning, you and I aren't allowed to eat the animal now? No, it just, that because its whole chiyus now is through a trefa, at least vis-a-vis the mizbeach, it's disqualified from the mizbeach.
How much more so?
Right, correct. In other words, it makes the fetus argument even that much stranger. Meaning, if you're just receiving a yanika, just a nourishment from a trefa, I mean, feed it. Okay, you're right. Kol hakadosh shenasu trefa in poden kemenan emili. You have an animal that's a trefa. Okay, so you can't offer it on the car as a carbon. Now what? So our Mishnah's position is, it's going to be a tough break. Meaning, even if it develops a blemish, you can't redeem it. Because what's going to happen once you redeem it? You're then going to give it to your animal to eat? You can't eat it. The best thing that can happen is that it's dog food. And as we learned yesterday, the Torah doesn't even want you to have a dog. And again, I say this as somebody who likes dogs. But, meaning, as Mechir Kalev. So, Tana Rabbanan, Tizbach v'lo giza v'achata v'lo l'klavecha, baser v'lo chalav. Mikanshin podim esakashan l'achin l'klavim. Meaning, according to our first brisa that we're quoting, if all we're going to do is take psule hamukdashin and just redeem it only so that you can give it to your dog, no, Torah doesn't want that. And so consequently, it's over. Now, when I say it's over, what exactly do I mean by that? I'm not 100% sure. I think what I'm saying is, you got to kill the animal. Meaning, non-shchita kill the animal. Meaning, it's kind of like chatos ha-mesa. Something in that category. Igadami, now the Gemara brings in another version of this discussion. Now, it's not really another version. I'm not sure if that's accurate, although the Gemara does introduce us with Igadami. But in other words, this is going to conflict. Tizbach v'achalta, ein lecha ba'en heter, Ela mishas zvicha ve'elech. Now, according to this second version, once you shecht psula hamukdashim, you're good. You're good meaning, now you can do with it what you want. You want to eat it, great. You want to give it to your dogs, that's also fine. Meaning the whole purpose of the Torah saying, v'zavachta, I'm sorry, or tizbach, means before zvicha, before you shecht it, no good, you can't touch the animal. Psula hamukdashim. Once you shecht it, now you're fine. You're fine, meaning you could do whatever you want with it, even give it to your animals. Kasaver, poden, sakashin, lachin, laklavim. This brisa, again, the Gemara says, ikida amre, but it sounds like it's another brisa altogether. This brisa says that if your animal is a bamum and it's a trefa, you can redeem it because you can't give it to your animal. Does this conflict with our Mishnah? Yeah, sure it does. Sure it does. In other words, this would be a conflicting viewpoint. Hadron alach kol ha'asurim. That is the end of the sixth parak of Temura. Ikad Amri is usually another version of a discussion, and usually, in my experience, it means a discussion that the Amoraim were having. It doesn't. It's not right. Okay.
So maybe another. They just brought a different brisa.
Right. I mean, but this is. Right, what the Gemara just expressed was a viewpoint of another Tana. I mean, Rashi says it also very clearly. Okay. Hajjal Kol Asurim, now we move on to the seventh and final Perek of Temura. Let's go. Yesh B'kach Mizbech Shem B'kach Bedek Abayis. Okay, we've made this distinction so many times, but here we attack it straight on. Right, this is not now, this is no longer a side discussion. This is the main topic of discussion. The difference between Bedek HaBayis versus Mizbeach. Or the way we express it sometimes, Kedushas Damim versus Kedushas Haguf. Right? I set aside an animal as a carbon. So that animal now has Kedushas Haguf. It has intrinsic Kedusha. Right? It's not that the value of the animal is Kadosh, meaning it itself, the animal itself is Kadosh, and now the animal is going to be earmarked as a carbon. As opposed to, if I'm makdish any item or object on this table, or for that matter, even an animal, but I earmark it for Bedek HaBayis. Now, we had a discussion not that long ago about, can I do that? Can I take an animal that's a non-blemished animal and just be makdish it for Bedek HaBayis? Okay? And that it's an assay, it's an iser assay, if you want to call it that. Could be even a lav. Okay, we discussed this not that long ago. But right now, let's just deal with the basic distinction between Kedushas Mizbeach versus Kedushas Damim. Okay. Yesh B'kachim Mizbeach, Shem B'kachim Bedek HaBayis, V'yesh B'kachim Bedek HaBayis, Shem B'kachim Mizbeach. Okay, and the Mishnah over here is going to highlight there are unique features about each one. Shekachim Mizbeach, so we're going to start off with Kachim Mizbeach. So again, we're talking now about something which is designated as a carbon for the Mizbeach. So, osin temura. So, number one, it can make a temura. Okay. Right. It can affect temura. Not that you're allowed to, not that you should, but it can. It works. Skip the parentheses. Also, all your psule mizbech, your classic. Pigal noser and tame. Pigal machshava chutzuzmano. Noser leaving over the carbon beyond its allotted time. And tame, if the carbon's tame. And you eat it while the carbon is tame. Or if you eat it while you're tame. So you're going to be liable in all those scenarios. Vladan v'chelvan, and we'll learn, sorry. And when we start with krisus, in just a short couple of days from now, we're going to learn that all these are isuri, kares. Right? Heavy duty isuri. Vladan v'chelvan aser. Offspring and milk of a carbon is going to be prohibited la'achar pijonan, after it was redeemed. V'ashochtan b'chutz, and if you shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, chayev, that is what's called shchutei chutz. Another iser that's going to make its way into the first Mishnah Krisus. Ein nosnin mehem lu'umanim bischaran. How about paying the workers, right? Bedek HaBayis has got a team of contractors. Right, working there all the time. How do they pay them? They pay them with money. So can you pay them with carbon? Absolutely not. You ain nos nimehem lumanim bischaram. You can pay them with Bedek HaBayis, right? Although That's a little bit up for debate, but right now, let's just say it. You can pay them with Bedek Abayis, but you can't pay them with Karban.
So they're workers on the Beis
HaMikdash? Sure.
They're working.
Why can't
you just pay them with Bedek Abayis without?
You can. That's exactly the point. You can't pay them with Karban. You can't pay them with Kedusha Zaguf.
Right.
But you can pay them with Bedek Abayis. Mashen Kim because you're Bedek Abayis. Okay. Yesh because you're Bedek Abayis. Now, let's go the other way. What are unique features about Bedek Abayis? Stam Ekdesh is a Bedek Abayis. Okay, I'm Makdish. I am Makdish all my possessions, or any of my possessions. So the default position is it's going to Bedek Abayis. Hektish Bedek Abayis Chal Al HaKol. Hektish Bedek Abayis will apply to everything. We'll explain later on what everything means. Umo Alan Be Gidulehem. Now, there's Me'ilah. Meaning, once something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, now there's an Isra of Me'ilah. I cannot get benefit from an item. If I do so, that's called misappropriation. That's a fancy way of saying I'm stealing from the Beis HaMikdash. And not only is there Me'ilah by the item, there's also Me'ilah by growth of the item as well. The Ein Bahem Hana Labalam, and you cannot get any Hana whatsoever to its owner. Okay. As opposed to Karban, by the way, where by Karban, there is going to be benefit to the owner. I know that sounds funny, but it's true, it's accurate. Meaning a shlamim, for example. The owner of a shlamim is going to enjoy a lot of meat that day. And if it's a shlamim, the next day as well. So the Gemara starts off with a discussion which should sound familiar because the Gemara earlier had this exact same discussion. When the Mishnah says that kache mizbeach can affect tamura, is that always true? It's not always true. So the Gemara says, first of all, what about birds? Birds cannot affect tamura. So kiketani abehima. So the Gemara says, okay, Amish is only talking about animals. All right, so the Gemara sidesteps that question. Next question. The offspring of a karban cannot affect tamura. And our Mishnah makes it sound like it can, because our Mishnah makes no limitation. Okay, so our Mishnah could be going like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that a vlad can affect tamura. What about a tamura itself? Can a tamura itself affect tamura? The answer is no, according to everybody. And only, right, it's only a one-shot deal. Okay, kiketani ha'ikar zivcha. So the Gemara says again, all these questions really... The basic answer is, look, Vlad, Tamura cannot affect Tamura. And the Tamura itself cannot affect Tamura. And birds cannot affect Tamura. When our Mishnah says that in general, it's only talking about the Iker Karban. So, and then we don't have to make our Mishnah go like Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah can be going like the Chachamim. And our Mishnah is only going on the Iker Zevach. Okay, the Gemara makes a simple diuk in our Mishnah. We made the diuk in the Mishnah. Okay? And I'm very simple. So, it's a simple diuk, meaning that kashe bedek abayis I can use to pay the workers. I'm Rabbi Abba, Damakra, v'asuli mishali. The Pasuk says, v'asuli mikdash, just a short couple of parshas ago. Now, that was talking about the Mishkan, but hainu hach, it's the same thing. So v'asuli, you're going to make it for me. Just we're going to change one word, not for me, but from me, mishali, meaning any money dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash can be used for building. So you pay the workers. You pay the workers with bedek abayis. Okay, yesh because you bedek abayis. I'm a marsta mekdesh with a bedek abayis. So man tama amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba amar Rabbi Yochanan delok Rabbi Yoshua. Who is a Mishnah not going like? Right? Somewhat complicated way of formulating. Who is the Mishnah not going like? It's not going like Rabbi Yoshua de Tanya. Okay, again, I'm going to accuse the Gemara of sounding familiar, because it does. We just went through this Gemara about 2 weeks ago. Okay, you're Maktish Hoyin Nechasim. Again, you know the story. This person found God, and he doesn't want any worldly material items anymore. So he says, everything I own will go to the Beis HaMikdash, and he owns, amongst his possessions, he has animals. What becomes of the animals? They go to Bedek Abayis as well. At least according to Rabbi Eliezer. So, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Zecharim, what do you do with the male animals? Yimachru l'tzarchei ola. So, you find a person who needs an ola. You sell the animal to that person who needs an ola, and what happens to that money? Bedek abayis. Or nekevitz yimachru l'tzarchei shlamim v'demeim yipluim shar nechaslam v'bedek abayis. So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, all your assets are going to go to Bedek Abayis. It just happens to be that we'd like the animals to be brought as a karbon. So how do we do that? It's very simple. So you find people who need the animals as karbanos. You sell them the animal, but the money is going to go to Bedek Abayis. Great. And Rabbi Yeshua Amr, Zechayim Hanats Ma'yikruvu Olos, and Akevzi Machu Litzachi Shlamim, V'yavi B'demeyim Olos, Ushar Nechassal and Bedek Abayis. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, no. The animals themselves are karbon. Karbon. Now, the male animals are going to be a carbonola, so those male animals will just simply be offered directly as a carbonola. Great. What about the female animals? They're an ola. That's a little rough. Female animals are going to be an ola? How is that going to work out? So what you do is you sell the female animals to someone who needs a carbon shlamim, and the money then you buy olas and you send and that's how the money is going to be shifted to a carbonola, and the rest of it's going to go to Bedek Abayis. Good. So, point is that according to Rabbi Yehoshua, if you have animals and you're makdish all your possessions to Bedek Abayis, the animals assume not Bedek Abayis status, but Kedushas Haguf, but Mizbeach status. So when you read our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says that Stam, that generally speaking, your possessions, if you're makdish it, go to Bedek Abayis, that's not going like Rabbi Yehoshua, that's going like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? Fine. Amrav upligi, the Rav Adabav, Damaradabav, Amrav, the Eder Shakulam Zechar, Mafil Rabbi Laza Moda, Teloshavi Kinish Kashim is Bechem Akish Labedek Abayis. So he says, no. Look, if let's say all your possessions, all your assets amounted to animals, and you're Makdish your animals, you're not earmarking them to Bedek Abayis. Meaning, if they're an animal, they're all animals, and they have the potential to be offered as a karbon, they will become karbanos. Right. The only debate is whether you have a herd where half are male and half are female. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says that when you consecrate your entire herd, and some are male and some are female, so in your mind, if you don't spell it out, you're not bifurcating, you're not dividing your herd into two. And you're not saying, well, the males are going to Olos and the females are going to... You don't do that. So in other words, since the females are going to Bedek Abayis, so will the males as well. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Cholek is Nidro. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Cholek is Nidro. That no person can separate and divide his herd, where the males are going to go to Olos and the females are going to go to Bedek Abayis. Lishna Achina Amri La Amri Avada Barava Amri Av Bishlo Hikdish Ala Behema. I feel Rabbi Lazam Odeh Lo Shavik and Ishkashim Mizbech Umakdish Le Bedek Abayis. According to the second version, it's basically the same story, but if your possessions just resulted in animals, so then fine, your male animals are going to be Ola, your female animals are going to be, Bedek Abayis, and, okay, fine. Lo nechlugu ala kishyei shar nechassim imahem. The debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua is where you have animals and other assets as well, property, cars, other things. Rabbi Elazar Savra Ein Adam Cholek Is Nidro Mishana Chasam Lo Lekachem Is Beach Behema Nami Lo Lekachem Is Beach. And Rabbi Elazar's argument is: look, your property is going to go to Bedek Abayis. It's not going on the Mizbeach. So since you were matish everything together, and your property was part of that hekdesh, so therefore the animal's also going to go to Bedek Abayis as well. And Rabbi Yeshua Savra Adam Cholek Is Nidro. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Even if you're being makdish all your assets, including your property, but nevertheless, though, a person's mind can split. And a person's mind could say, the animals will go to the Mizbeach, at least the male animals will go to the Mizbeach, and the rest of my property will go to Bedek Abayis. Tonight. Now, The Gemara is going to see which version that we just spell out, which version is more accurate, more correct. So what does our Mishnah say? The Mishnah says Shar Nechasim. What's that talking about? Now, according to the second version, great, Shar Nechasim, exactly. Meaning, I was makdish all my property, animals, and everything else I have. Alishna Kama, listen to Yipul Lebedek Abayis. But according to Alishna Kama, so, what is Shar Nechasim? Tayina Mehachu, Demeim Yipul Lebedek Abayis. So the Gemara says, well, when you learn our Mishnah, you're going to have to say in our Mishnah, Udemeim, its value, Yipul Lebedek Abayis, meaning take out the Shar Nechasim line. Okay. Hektish Bedek Abayis Chal Al Hakol. Okay, let's finish up. I know the hour is late. Let's just finish up to the bottom of the Amud. Hektish Bedek Abayis Chal Al Hakol Asuye Mayim Ravina Asuye Shipui Veniva. Okay, your Matish wood. You cut the wood, create sawdust. What's going to be with the sawdust? It's also to Bedek Abayis. Okay. Omo alin bigidu lehem lesuye mayim rapapa lesuye chalav hamukdashin ubeitzei torin. Milk and eggs. Okay, the Tanya chalav hamukdashin ubeitzei torin lo nenen v'lo ma'olim. Be'ef ba'med v'amor mekash mizbeach. That, now, there's no iser of me'ila. That's if it's a carbon. Avav b'kesher bedek bayis, but if it's not a carbon. Higdish tanegolos ma'olim b'beitzasa chamora ma'olim b'chalva. You are makdish a female donkey. That's bedek bayis. It's not, that female donkey is not going on the mizbeach. So its milk, which is gidule bedek bayis, is an ister of me'ila. V'yafil aman damer ma'olim b'gidule mizbeach hanemil gidulim d'chazal mizbeach. Avav gidulim d'lo chazal mizbeach ein ma'olim behen. And even according to the one who says, now, who is that person? Gemara kind of just drops this into a machlokas. But even according to the one, man damer says, gedule mizbech, that's only hanimila, gedule dechazal mizbech. That's only things that are fit for the mizbech. But gedulim which are not fit for the mizbech, there's no longer going to be an ister me'ila, adkan. Okay. We got up to today's daf. Tomorrow we're going to start today's daf. Of course, tomorrow's being tomorrow, but okay. Those are side issues. Okay, but we started the seventh and final perek of Temura, highlighting the basic differences between Kedushei Mizbeach versus Kedushei Bedek HaBayis. Again, learning we do this morning should be for continued Refuah Shlema for Rafal Zaka Avraham Ben Yakira Avigal. And the Chanani Menakash Amar, Rasa Kashbach, Zaka Sofi, Chachir Ben Torah, Mitzvah Shanaim Anaychav, Etam Antiko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.